Jesus strictly charged and commanded them not to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Now about 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And as he was fasting, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothes became dazzling white. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep. But when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. As he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was alone, was found alone, and they were kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. This passage is about sacrifice, big sacrifice. Anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. It's about sacrifice, big sacrifice. The question is it worth it? Lots of people in the world make big sacrifices. I was reading about this guy, Gary Vaynerchuk, founder, CEO of a big media company. He says this, "I've learned the importance of sacrifice. When you start, your only focus is building your business. I'm talking 18 hours a day dedicated, even at the mercy of your family. But in 2 or 3 years now, I'm taking my kids on business trips and showing them the world. We're reaping the benefits." That's the claim. Sacrifice worth the benefits down the line. Or, you know, this guy, he's made it onto the screens on a relatively regular basis at the moment for the World Cup. Cristiano Ronaldo scoring that perfect free kick against Spain. But what did that take? It took all of that training, but the guy spends 4 hours a day after team training on his own individual skills. Was it worth it? Leave you to decide how much you like football and how much you'd have thought it was worth it. Sometimes our culture seems apathetic. You know, that's too cool to care that much. But actually, all of us are making sacrifices. Because every choice is a sacrifice by definition. You choose that career, you are sacrificing choosing that career. You choose to spend, it's the lie of social media that it's free. It's not free, it costs you time. If you choose to spend an hour browsing that, you are sacrificing an hour with family, or an hour extra at work, or an hour extra sleeping. Everyone is sacrificing. You can't escape it. The question is it a sacrifice that's the right sacrifice? Are you sacrificing for the right things? Are you sacrificing for something that will rise to bless you, to help you, or are you sacrificing for something that will shrivel you and chew you up and spit you out? I was reading about a video game addicted dad who played hour after hour after hour with his son, and they had to take the 10-year-old son into hospital because the son had developed bowel problems from holding in going to the toilet so much. He was so addicted to playing video games, It was a they both made massive sacrifices for video games. Was it worth the sacrifice, or did it rise to bless them, or did it rise to destroy them? Everyone sacrifices. Is it the right sacrifice? Is it worth it? Here is the claim of this passage. I don't know, maybe you're not a Christian here today, and you're coming along, and you're here to see your friends getting baptized. Ronan and Tommy later on in the service are going to be saying, yeah, we've decided to follow Jesus. Here's the claim of this passage. I don't know what you make of it. Jesus is worth sacrificing for. Verse 23, here's the claim. Jesus says we must sacrifice. It's a significant sacrifice. If anyone would come after me, let him, or some translations say he must, deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. To follow him, Jesus says we must deny self, not stop being us, but handing over the steering wheel of our life to Jesus. If you work long enough in the wharf, I'm told one of the thoughts that crosses your mind more and more regularly is, I wish I was running my own business, not receiving your instructions from on high, but in charge. Well, that's not to be the way in the Christian life. We're to deny self, follow Jesus, let him be in charge. Deny self, and did you see, take up our cross. Not, oh, we've all got our little crosses to bear. Remember what the first readers would have heard from this. This is a form of execution. This is more like hearing someone say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, sit down in his electric chair, and follow me. That's what the first readers would have heard. What a claim. My brother works for something called World Watch Monitor, which is part of Open Doors. And his job is just to try and publish the bare facts of what is happening around the world for Christians being persecuted. Lots of people, when they publish the kind of facts, they put a lot of spin on them, and the secular news outlets just have learned to doubt some of what's been pushed as Christian persecution. His job is just to state the facts. It is sobering just to watch him, you know, meet up with him every 3 months or so, and just, again, you just see, it's just like, there's so much going on in persecution of Christians. The Christians literally crucified by ISIS, the thousands in labor camps in North Korea. In our country, following Jesus is not likely to be a physical death, but it could be a kind of social death, right? There's a lady who started coming to the lunchtime talks, so we run talks for people that work in Canary Wharf, and she's not calling herself a Christian. But she started to look into it really seriously. So she makes sure she comes and listens to the Bible being taught. She's reading on her own, trying to understand in its context. And her family are just telling her, you're just going crazy. Like, have you joined some cult or something? She's not even decided to become a Christian. And she's getting that kind of reaction. So the cost following Jesus is significant, this passage says. And this sacrifice, the passage claims, is worth it. That it is right, that it won't chew us up and spit us out, that it will rise to bless us. Verse 24 says that, whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. It will see us accepted into Jesus' kingdom on Judgment Day, and it will see us in this life flourish into the kind of person we were created to be. I don't know, what have you made of the last 5 minutes of me talking? Are you just sitting there going, really? What are you talking about? So the cost sounds way too high, and there's no way the benefits are worth it. Maybe in your head, Christianity is more kind of cucumber sandwiches on the vicarage lawn. It's like a nice hobby, nice little add-on to life, but it's never this kind of sacrifice. Yet these are Jesus' words, Jesus Christ of Christianity. C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia story, said, either Jesus is of no importance, or he is of the utmost importance. The one thing he cannot be is moderately important. How can it really be worth sacrificing for? Well, this passage gives us two big motivations. In a minute we'll get to his sacrifice, but first his authority. Jesus isn't just some plastic baby in a manger. Twice in this passage, Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. So verse 22, Son of Man. Verse 26, Son of Man. It's Jesus' favourite title for himself, and it's picking up on a prophecy in Daniel 7 that says this. One like a Son of Man would come before the Father and be given all dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations and languages should serve him. That's the claim of this passage. He has authority. He is the one, verse 26, who will return in his glory with tens of thousands of angels with him. I was reading the other day about a guy called Jim Schremby, who was a tree surgeon. And he was injured after a tree. Tree surgeons are supposed to be able to make the trees fall away from you. Sadly for Jim, the tree fell toward him. And they had to call out the air ambulance. And the crew came out, and they scrambled, and one of the guys came out and was holding his head for like half an hour while they were sorting it out. And they started to carry him to the helicopter, and he'd heard Prince William was a helicopter pilot, and he made a joke. He was like, oh, I hope Wilsey's not flying this. And Wilsey, who'd been holding his head for half an hour, said, hello, that's me. He'd missed who it was. If he'd seen Prince William in his, there you go. The verse really was there, I promise. Prince William, if he'd seen Prince William in all his finery, you know, standing there on the balcony in all of his glory, he'd have spotted him straight away. But because he was there in his work gear, in his rescue gear, he just didn't see him. But that doesn't mean that he isn't who he claims to be. If we don't get Jesus' authority, of course we won't think Jesus is worth following, worth denying self for, able to make it worth it. To get it, we need to see his authority. Which is why, 8 days later, some of them get a sneak preview of Jesus' authority. So did you see that? Verse 29, as Jesus was praying, he was transfigured. If you heard of the transfiguration, this is it. The appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. Well, verse 32, Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory. This is a glimpse into who Jesus really is. Not just there in his work clothes, but him in his glory. Imagine if Prince William knew Jim, hadn't recognized him. He'd, I don't know, opened up his air ambulance uniform and underneath there was his ermine garment. Or he'd taken off his helicopter pilot helmet and put on his crown. Then he'd have got it. That's what Jesus is doing here. He's saying, look, look at who I am. All through Luke, Jesus has been giving glimpses of what he's like. He's raised the dead, he's calmed a storm, he's healed the sick, he's raised to life. But at the end of Peter's life, one of the three there, when he's trying to describe to some young Christians how powerful Jesus is, do you know what moment he reaches for? He reaches for this moment. This is what Peter says, talking about the transfiguration. We did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What must it have been like to be there to make Peter talk about this ahead of watching Jesus calm a storm at a word? This is Jesus displaying his authority. Peter wrote this letter just before he died. Tradition has it he was killed on a cross, upside down, so he wasn't like exactly like Jesus, but he took up his cross and followed Jesus. Why? Because Peter was convinced this wasn't some made-up fairy tale. He was an eyewitness to what actually happened. He saw Jesus' authority. That's something of what Tommy and Ronan have seen, why they're getting baptized. They've seen Jesus' authority. And they're ready to say, I want to live for him. I want to sacrifice for him. As society, we think submission to authority will wreck us, dehumanize us. It doesn't take many clicks on the news to persuade us human authorities haven't always used their power for the good of those underneath them. But that's why we need to get this second point, that Jesus doesn't just command, Jesus sacrifices for us. So the passage we read didn't begin with our sacrifice, it began with his sacrifice. Verse 22, what happens to this Son of Man, this powerful, authoritative one? Well, he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And only then, on the third day, would he be raised to his place of authority. Jesus denied himself and picked up his cross first. This passage, when you get into it, is making clear Jesus had to die. This was the only way for him to be able to rescue his people. He couldn't just inspire them to better works. He had to die for them. He rolls out witness after witness and puts witness after witness in the box to show us that this is what must happen. Jesus says it's necessary. Verse 22, he witnesses to it. He says the Son of Man must suffer many things. Then Moses and Elijah, two massive figures from the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, they testify. What do they talk with Jesus about when they come to meet him in their transfigured state? They come and talk about his departure, literally his exodus, what Jesus is about to fulfill. They come and speak about the fact Jesus must suffer and die before he rises. Then God himself gets in the witness box. Verse 35, God speaks from this cloud of his presence. This is my son, listen to him. Not just listen to his authority, but also listen to what he's just said, that he must die. Jesus had to sacrifice. But this is why following him rises to bless us, not cripple us. He had to sacrifice for us. He chose to sacrifice for us. Jim didn't recognize Prince William because Prince William was all dressed up in his air ambulance kit, there to rescue. Jesus has come to rescue. All people saw when they looked at Jesus was a man, but he was dressed for a rescue mission. And who do rescuers come from? Well, they come for those in need of rescue, right? That's us. That's humanity. At the Transfiguration, Jesus' clothes are turned pure white. Did you notice that? It's a symbol of Jesus' moral purity, his perfection. Mark tells us they were whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. But what kind of clothes are we clothed in? Well, if every bit of thought, every evil deed, if that is another mark of dirt on our clothes, well, then we're filthy. The God of all purity should banish us, all of us, because of our dirt, from his presence for all eternity. That's the Bible's claim, Jesus' consistent claim. Verse 26, the Son of Man, Jesus is returning in his glory. There is a second coming of Christ as well as the first coming of Christ. There is a judgment day. But we won't be in the witness box against others. We'll be the accused and we'll be found guilty. And yet the Bible says Jesus had to die that at the cross he could be treated like dirt. He died the death dirty sinners should die, so that we could be made clean. So the promise that Jesus makes at the cross is that I can clothe you with white robes, is what Revelation says. Christians will be clothed with in heaven, not because they're better than anyone else, but because they've turned to Jesus for forgiveness. That's part of what baptism will symbolize later on in the service. That as they go down into the water, they're saying, yes, in myself I am dirty. Jesus, please make me clean as you die. So the claim, Jesus is worth sacrificing for. The motivation, his authority, his sacrifice. Response. Well, the response is to call out for mercy, to say, Jesus, I'm dirty. Will you make me clean as you die? But it also means walking his road. Walking his road. And I mean that two ways. First, walking his road, as in walk the road he sets for us. And that springs from his authority. Come after me, follow me, this ruling Son of Man. So our lives are not to be our own. We are Jesus's. We're to travel the road he sets before us. listening to sat navs, that's how it works these days, isn't it? You go where the sat nav tells you to go. I was driving through the Lake District the other day, and I even saw a sign that said, don't go this way, don't believe your sat nav. But everyone else was doing it, so I followed my sat nav that way as well. And I think it did just make it 30 seconds quicker than driving around. But just followed. But following your sat navs can be dangerous, can't it? It can get you into a whole world of trouble if you just listen, especially if you've got a big vehicle. But following Jesus, well, that will never get us into that kind of trouble. He's a loving king. To follow him leads to blessing. But we're to follow. Where we used to ask, what do I want to do with my time, my money, my work, my sexuality, my leisure? Now we ask, what does Jesus want me to do with them? How can I serve him, his agenda, his church? One of the roads he drives us down is speaking of him to others. So in verse 26, Jesus warns us not to be ashamed of him or his words. Jesus' death is such wonderful news to speak about. You would want to speak about this if this were true, wouldn't you? It'd be natural to speak about it. And yet, some of the assumptions that lie behind Jesus dying for us are things we can be tempted to be ashamed of. Yeah, the idea that there is a heaven and a hell, that each one of us deserves hell and need Jesus to rescue us for heaven. It can be painful to walk that road. So walk his road, go where he commands, but also walk his road as in walk the kind of road that he has walked himself. That not just Jesus is worth sacrificing for, Jesus is worth sacrificing with. Jesus denied himself, took up his cross, and went to his death. Why? Well, to serve others. As we come to him, he serves us, and he makes us his servants. He makes us servants of others. Verse 23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me in service of others. It's a must, and it's daily. Take up their cross daily. Daily serving, sacrificing to put others ahead of ourselves. Everything from doing the washing up to making my biggest life decisions through the lens of what will serve others. It sounds like death. It is death, in a sense. Did you hear in that first reading that the other thing that baptism symbolizes is going down with Christ into his death and then rising to a new life, a life that will say no to sin, that will fight sin and look to serve others? It sounds like death, yet actually it rises to bless us, because we're becoming the people we've been created to be. So verse 24, we'll see it goes in two different ways, but verse 24, whoever saves his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. And this is partly because we're built as humans to sacrificially serve other people. So they've started doing some research in old people's homes about what helps them flourish and live longer lives. And they've found that one of the things that happens in old people's homes is just everything is provided for you. You've got no one else to serve. And so they've started to give some of these patients animals to care for. And it's genuinely helping them to live longer. Humans are so built to serve others that if they live that way, will they begin to flourish? I don't know if you've seen it in the workplace, but you hear of guys who are so bent on reaching the top, so bent on getting their names in lights, that even if they get there, they've lost themselves. They've lashed out at others. They've curved in on themselves. They've lost their families. We hear about a wharf manager actually throwing stuff at an employee in their desire to get what they want. People looking at their managers and just being like, I don't want to be like any of you. They sacrifice for career, prestige, money, and it just chewed them up and spat them out. Yet choose the road of sacrifice, and you find true humanity. So you save yourself at the level of your humanity, but it's true at the level of eternity as well. That as we side with Jesus, however falteringly, however stumblingly, as we follow Jesus, we follow him to the cross, which saves us from what we deserve for the eternity we don't deserve. That's the sense in which we save ourselves. Verse 26, that seems to be the primary sense, because it follows it up with an eternal perspective on this verse. Are we prepared for Judgment Day? Are we trusting Jesus with our eternities? Do we see we could? We're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Jesus. As we close, what would it look like to sacrifice for Jesus? What would it look like to live for Jesus and make sacrifices the way that people like Ronaldo made sacrifices, or the kind of sacrifices Gary Vaynerchuk made for his career? What would it look like to live for Jesus in the area of work, in the area of family, in the area of church, in the area of our time off? We need all of those things, and we can do all of those things in service of Jesus, but what would it look like to live radically? If we are Christian, it's worth asking ourselves, when was the last time Christianity actually cost us something? Christianity that costs us nothing is worth nothing. If someone was to look in at our Christianity over the last month and the difference it's made to our lives, would people conclude, hey, this is a nice hobby, a nice little extra bit of window dressing on our lives, or this is the engine in this guy's car? What would they conclude? Jesus, following Jesus as we walk his road, it is worth it. Sacrificing for Jesus is worth it. It's funny in Luke that as you watch Peter, he's there hearing this call. If anyone, he must deny himself. And yet what happens to Peter just before the cross? He does deny Jesus. And yet Jesus forgives, rescues, and empowers him to live for Jesus and speak of him. Let's praise Jesus for his sacrifice. Let me lead us in a prayer, and then we're going to continue in prayer corporately. Father, please help us see Jesus as worth sacrificing for. Please help us see his authority, see his sacrifice, and heed his call. And we pray that you get the honor you deserve in our lives and in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.